Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity I have to share your word today. It's a privilege and an honor. Hide me behind your cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Little ones can be dismissed to do junior church. I just remembered that I need to do that. I don't mind having you guys out here. You don't bother me, but they break it up into little pieces so you can chew it a little better. Out here, we give you the whole steak. If you want a title, I guess it would just be Facing Adversity, Facing Problems, Facing Trouble, something that we're all familiar with. Anybody know why there's a, what happens to an oyster shell when sand is put in the oyster shell? A pearl. And what's the pearl caused by? How is that created? Irritation. Who likes that? So a pearl is created in an oyster shell by irritation. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting that in the holy city, New Jerusalem, there's a gate of pearl. That's what you'll read. Adversity. Many, many people today are facing some kind of problems today. Those of you that will be watching this by way of internet, you'll be facing them as well. And maybe you're already in the midst of it. You might be dealing with financial difficulties. Maybe some of you are suffering because of rebellious children. I had a good friend, a very good friend of mine, that had to deal with a lot of problems because of an adopted child that he had. Caused him a lot of grief. Poor man. Perhaps you're hurting emotionally because of some personal betrayal. Or maybe you're faced with some kind of health issues. It comes in a variety of different forms. But I can tell you one thing is very certain. It will come to each one of us sooner or later. When you're little, the problems are little. When you're big, the problems are big. Some people crumble under the pressure of adversity. Some become bitter. They become resentful toward the Lord. And they walk away from the Lord. I know of some that have done that. They're bitter to this day. The Bible says to those type of people, they're harder to win back to the Lord than to go into a strong city that's walled. They're difficult to reach because they've been hurt. They've been hurt severely. They might resort to addictive behaviors to try to escape the pain. People handle things differently. Some resort to alcohol to escape it. But there's others that have totally different reactions to it. And we talked about two. Job, Paul. There's so many people I think about in the scriptures when I think about problems and trouble. But when you're a Christian, God can make all the difference. He can turn a lion's den into a petting zoo. Daniel found that out, didn't he? God makes a difference. So has your adversity or your problem, has it become a burden or a bridge? A burden or a bridge? Who today wants to experience tough times? None of us do. None of us want to go through that. None of us want to go through that. And I can tell you, just because I'm sharing this, I'm not a professional in it. By no means. I'm figuring it out just like you. And it isn't always easy. It isn't always easy. When they come our way, we have a choice about how to view them. You either view it as a burden or a bridge. A burden is a heaviness or a weight that depresses us. We may feel weary and discouraged. We have no joy or peace. It's a burden to us. But a bridge, quite the contrast. It's a way that we can rise above the problems and the difficulties. It gives us an opportunity to develop an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Why is it? It sometimes always takes problems and trouble to get you on your knees. Why didn't you get there before? What kept you? Why is it that it's always problems and troubles that bring you to your knees? Why can't you learn to fall on your knees when you're in good times, in wonderful times? Life can be very wonderful. I enjoy life and all its many blessings. The psalmist said, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." In other words, God is in control of everything. Everything. That's right. Everything. And I've learned that through my life, that everything that happens to me, God has allowed to happen to me. It's not easy, but I know that God's in control. Romans chapter 8:28 says, "God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." You see, when these two verses are put together, they become a bridge that will help us overcome our problems. So now let's go to Paul's life. You see, in Paul's life, problems and adversity was a bridge for him. Probably one of the best examples we have in the New Testament of how a bridge deepened his relationship with the Lord. The apostle wrote the majority of the New Testament, most of the New Testament. Without those revelations that the Lord gave him, we would have a lot less insight on a lot of things concerning the New Testament. But here's how he wrote, "I count all things to be lost in view of the value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death." Philippians 3, 8, and 10. Through tribulation and difficulty, Paul learned, as we also. So let's look at some things in Paul's life to help us with our adversity and our problems. He could know peace even in adversity. Every Christian here can know peace in adversity because now we know that God's in control of everything. So no matter what problem you find yourself in, God's there. This didn't happen behind his back. There's no accidents with God. In a conversation I had with my mother, I remember saying, she said, "It was an accident." I said, "Mother, did this happen when God's back was turned?" "Oh, no, I guess not. I guess there is no accidents with God, is there?" "No, there is with us, but there is none with God. None. It's a surprise to us, but there's no surprises to God." Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. He said, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means." That means when you don't have anything, no money. "I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and in every circumstance, I've learned this. I've learned the secret of being filled, going hungry, having abundance, suffering need. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And so can you, and so can me. I can do it all through him. I need him. I can't do anything without him. And the more you try, you'll find out You need him, and you need him every day. What else can we learn about this? God gave him supernatural strength in his weakness. He said that his weakness allowed the Holy Spirit to work through his life. He said, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of God would be displayed and made manifest in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness. You feel weak today? You feel weak? Paul said, when I'm weak, I know I'm strong. Because God's with me then. I know that. When I'm weak, I'm strong. The Lord was the source of all his needs. He's the source of all his needs. There's no shortages in his economy. There's no high prices in his economy. Nothing takes him by surprise. My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. He trusted in the Lord's faithfulness. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will provide you a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You'll be able to endure it. Paul learned to depend on the Lord to carry him through any problem, any test, any trial. He learned that, as you and I will. We'll also learn it, won't we? It's not fun learning, but we'll learn it. The Father valued his service more than his desires. The scripture does promise that the Lord delights in giving us the desires of our hearts in Psalms 37:4. But you know what he wants better? He's more interested in our character than in our comfort. He'd rather we get to be a better person than just be comfortable. So he's after our character. He wants us to be better, to get along with people better, to do the things that he wants us to do, not the things we want to do. He even in his adversity strengthens his message through it. Paul was imprisoned. And while he was in prison, he had the attention of the entire Roman guard listening to his preaching. He had a captive audience, didn't he? They weren't going anywhere. They heard his message. They heard it. His adversity brought about a desire, a purpose for his gospel, for the message to go forth. The more adversity we face, you see, the more effective our message will be to others. Remember when I read the portion of scripture that Paul said, I have received that which I also delivered? Remember that? Listen, when you have received something, you went through something, it won't be a problem for you to deliver it. When you're delivering something to somebody, you can do it and do a good job, and you will be very effective because you know what that's like because you already had it happen to you. I know what you're going through because I had that happen to me. I know when you've grieved, Barchetta, because I've had it happen to me. But we don't need to grieve like others who have no hope. Paul didn't say that we don't grieve. He said we don't need to grieve like others who have no hope. We do grieve, but not like them. We know we'll see them again. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his name. It's important to see everything as coming from our Lord. One of the most important lessons the Lord has taught me through the years is that he uses everything, even the wrongs of others, for his purposes in my life. 2 Corinthians 12:7. God's ways, I said, are not our ways. They're higher than our ways. We draw near to him for relief and from pain and suffering. And in that very process, we discover more about how he works in us. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Do you know what else problems and adversity is good for? Veronica talked about this. Why Christians have problems? Why is that? Why do you suffer? So that you can do what? You can help others who suffer. You can help other people who are suffering. If you've never suffered, how would you ever expect to help somebody that suffered? Huh? How would you feel compassion for somebody if you never had any problems? That's what makes you compassionate. Because you had it happen to you. You know what that's like. When there's a little child, a baby there that's hurting and suffering, oh, it brings back memories when my children were sick and they were hurting. I remember when my son was crying for pain in his joints. His joints pained him so. He was 9 years old and he was crying for pain. I said, Lord, could you just give me the pain? I'll take it from him. Just transfer it. Just give it to me. It was so hard to see him crying because he had rheumatic fever. And it causes the joints to be painful. He had 4 heart valves leaking before they determined that he had rheumatic fever. When the doctor saw him, he said he's in bad shape. He said he'll be in the hospital for quite some time. I'll never forget that night. I went out in the woods, and I exchanged my life for his. Somebody asked me some time ago, just last week, I guess it was, that how did you get in the ministry? And I shared my testimony with them. I exchanged my life in the woods for my son. That's how I got in the ministry. My son's doing just fine. And so is his dad. He's doing just fine too. Adversity happens in our lives so that we can give comfort to other people as well. God had a specific purpose for adversity. Paul's thorn had a particular function. It was designed to keep him humble and dependent on God. Despite the astounding spiritual revelations he was given, and you see, like him, our trials are designed by God to help us become the people he wants us to be. You see, Paul was a very, very smart man, very learned, high in Pharisaical teachings. But God knew how to keep him humble, how he could get him to rely on God instead of himself because he was such a smarty. And then lastly, we can rejoice in the midst of our problems. Philippians 4:4 says, the apostle wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Knowing the Lord is always in control of our circumstances gives us a reason to celebrate. I think about David when he had that illicit relationship with Bathsheba, and it was born to him a son. His boy lived for 7 days. He was already warned by the prophet that his boy would die, but David thought he could change God's mind. And so he began to pray and fast, pray and fast, pray and fast. Until one day, he saw the people and his officials whispering. And he pretty much assumed why they were whispering, because his boy died. Now, he had been fasting for quite some time. He hadn't eaten for a while, and he hadn't bathed. He hadn't clothed. He didn't change his clothes. The scripture says after he found out that his boy died, he raised himself up, he changed his raiment, and he went into the sanctuary to worship. Talk about a time when you lost your boy. Feel like worshiping? No. But you know what? When the time comes in your life, when you are on your very, very bottom, and there's no other way to look, the best thing you can do is look up and rejoice and begin to praise him. When you don't feel like it, because that's when God knows it's real and it's genuine. Because you have no reason to be praising or worshiping. But if there's one thing I want you to always remember from me, when you're the downest, the downest, the downest, the downest you can be, and when you're down that far, you just remember how close you really are to heaven. When I'm weak, that's when I know I'm strong. When I'm the weakest, when I don't feel like praying, when I don't feel like worshiping, when it seems like everything else has gone sour, and I don't want to live another day. You ever been there? I've been there. That's when you want to worship. 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 And you don't feel like doing anything else. Worship. Our music team, can you come? We're going to have altar call now. It'd be a good time, wouldn't it? I don't know what you're going through, but I know the Lord laid this message in my heart. Some of you are going through something. You're going through something now. You're having some problems. I don't know what it all is, but you come. Come and let God speak to you. Come, just stand here. Maybe there's nothing you want to do, but you just want to worship. You want to just stand in his presence, and you just want to worship. That's all right. That's all right. You go ahead and sing, and then you come. Yep, you want to just say, Lord, other Sundays I come here because I need something. Today I'm just coming because I want to worship you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You've been good to me through the years. You've been really good to me. You blessed me. I'm here. I put my clothes on this morning. There's been times I had it fly in my back. Ed, you know, remember? Do you ever have back pain? Who here has ever had back pain? I had back pain that bad I couldn't move. I didn't want to move. If you'd have touched me, I'd have hit you. And I couldn't imagine going through my life with that kind of pain. I can't imagine going through back pain. But I had it. I had it 3 times. I know another one that had it. You tried every kind of position you could try. You don't know how happy I was when that went away. Oh, glory. Man, I don't know about you, but I knew God does miracles, because when that went away, buddy, that was a miracle for me. And people can say what they want, but buddy, when that went away, I had myself a miracle. Ooh, glory. Hey, when are we going to start singing? Go ahead and start singing.